I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, has FEMA's response to the Upper Guadalupe River flood been watered down? FEMA's involvement, while eventually present in the devastated areas, was deeply criticized for unacceptable delays, dysfunctional support operations, and structural weakness under the Trump administration. At the same time, Trump has called for the dismantling of FEMA and only offering federal assistance to Republican voting states. What does this tell us about the future of disaster recovery in the United States? And later on The Source, the controversy over a proposed sewage treatment plant for the Guajalote Ranch development in northern Bexar County. Opponents say the wastewater would pollute the Edwards Aquifer, the main source of drinking water for the San Antonio region. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news. Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to get the latest on a proposed sewage treatment plant that would serve the Guajalote housing development. The concern is that it could pollute the aquifer. But first, after the July 4th disastrous flash flood along the Upper Guadalupe River, federal assistance from FEMA arrived in Kerr County. But experts who understand disaster recovery and how FEMA has performed in the past are saying that this FEMA response seems to be watered down. It's been slow, not staffed at the same levels as previous similar disasters, and there might be political test for any community hit by a disaster in America now. If it votes for Democrats, we could hear from the administration that no FEMA for you. So what does this mean for the future of disaster recovery in America as climate change increases the number and magnitude of natural disasters? We're joined by Sarah Labowitz. She is the Senior Fellow in the Sustainability, Climate, and Geopolitics Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And Sarah, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much for having me.
How can we say anything? You know, what do we know for sure that this FEMA response is anything different than happened in previous administrations?
Well, it's just, the bottom line is it's a confusing time at FEMA. You know, I think for anyone who's lived through a disaster, you know that it's a chaotic time. You want the response to be as predictable, reliable as possible. And across the board, we're not seeing that from FEMA right now. It's unclear what the role is of FEMA federally, how much funding is going to be available, what communities can count on. So for any community across the country, it's a chaotic time when it comes to the federal response to disasters. I think there's a lot still to learn about what happened with the flooding in Kerr County. So a lot more to find out still.
You think we ought to have like a study or a report, some sort of investigation into how FEMA responded?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's going to be hearings tomorrow in Kerr County that the legislature is convening. I think, you know, important to hear from survivors themselves at those hearings. And, you know, I think we need to understand all the facts. You know, what was the state's responsibility? What were locals' responsibility? What was the federal government's responsibility? And some of that is still unfolding. We are still just a few weeks out from the disaster. Disaster recovery often unfolds over the course of weeks and months. So I think, you know, still a lot to pay attention to as FEMA arrives on the scene, opens recovery centers, starts making help available to people who survived the floods and the community as it rebuilds.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you've come in contact with FEMA or you know about what's happening, if you're not happy, if you've been disappointed, haven't been able to get through the call center, I hear that's not been great. You know, what are your questions and frustrations, experiences with FEMA dealing with this disaster in the Hill Country? So we've heard from the Trump administration that Donald Trump wants to do away with FEMA. What does he want to replace it with, or what's going on with that?
Well, I mean, this is, I wish we knew. I mean, one of the things that's frustrating for me is that, you know, the administration's been pretty clear, both Secretary Numb and President Trump, they've said at different times that they want to eliminate FEMA. They want to get rid of it as it exists today. But we don't know what the plan is. If FEMA is to be replaced, and by the way, I don't think it can be replaced statutorily, but if they want to fundamentally reimagine FEMA, what does that look like? What's the plan? How can states prepare for what the new reality is? And so I don't think we know enough about what the plan is. They've cut a lot. And I think part of what we saw in Kerr County was, you know, a couple of things that were concerning. One was the call center contracts that you mentioned, that those were not in place when people needed and were expecting to be able to reach FEMA. And then the deployment of urban search and rescue and the potential delay in deploying those teams. And we saw the head of that team nationally resign basically in protest of how long it took to deploy those teams.
So one would wonder, why would a politician who wants to curry favor, you know, with voters, want to do away with the organization that is going to help in recovery in times of disaster? But if you have followed conspiracy theories over the years and speak QAnon and stuff, you would understand that when he says we want to get rid of FEMA, that sounds different to Trump's base than it does to most of America, because FEMA has been the target of many conspiracy theories, including that they blame, you know, the believers of these conspiracy theories say that the U.S. government is going to use FEMA to run concentration camps. They were going to use abandoned Walmarts and turn them into these concentration camps for people who owned guns. They were going to use FEMA to do a martial law takeover. They would go to these disaster areas, and that FEMA didn't have to follow the Constitution or didn't have to follow the law. And these were theories that were spread by Glenn Beck and Alex Jones. Glenn Beck said on Fox News he couldn't disprove that that there were these FEMA camps. You know, so there is a lot there. When Trump is talking about doing away with FEMA, this is what he's talking about. He's addressing these conspiracy theory concerns. Have you seen that?
Well, and what I was saying is that I think there's a playbook for post-disaster misinformation. People are vulnerable, and there's some evidence that foreign governments are moving into that space to spread rumors and lies. And there's sort of consistent patterns. Like, there's always something about a weather weapon. There's usually something about how government officials aren't doing their job, that there's corruption or malfeasance, you know, FEMA's going to come and take your land. That's a common trope. So there's just this like pattern of misinformation that is pretty recognizable when you start to follow it disaster to disaster. And I would just say for folks who are living through a disaster, just like have that in the back of your mind, that there is this pattern. Foreign governments are eager to use this moment to undermine the confidence in government.
Yeah, we saw that in Hawaii with the fires and a lot of crazy theories, a lot of rumors, and they're disrupting. So we got to take a break here. We're going to continue our conversation about FEMA. Has FEMA been watered down in its response to the Kerr County disaster, and what does it mean for the rest of the country? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
This is Ashley Alvarado, President and CEO of Texas Public Radio. The recent defunding of public media was a serious blow to TPR and stations across the country. But when we turned to you, you rose to the challenge, and your response was extraordinary. Thanks to your generosity, our emergency fundraising drive was a powerful reminder of the strength of our community. You showed just how deeply you value independent journalism, classical music, and the role TPR plays in bringing us together. Defunded? Yes. Defeated? Never. But our work is far from over. You can still give at tpr.org/resiliency, and every gift strengthens our future. Thank you for being the heart and the hope of TPR.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about FEMA, its response to the Hill Country flood, What does this mean for the future of disaster recovery in the United States? And we're speaking with Sarah Labowitz, Senior Fellow in the Sustainability, Climate, and Geopolitics Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. So we do know for certain that the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem has canceled programs, has fired people at FEMA. There has been confusion and unsure about what to do and what they're allowed to do because of the way that she wants to run the agency. So what can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the we're living in a time when disaster, I mean, we know in Texas, right? Like there's more disasters. They're more frequent. Some of them are breaking through into national headlines, but some of them are just like, you know, something that you live through on a Tuesday. So we're in a time of more disasters, and it's clear that we need to invest on the front end to make those disasters less costly. And FEMA in the previous Trump administration in 2018 started a program called the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities Program, or BRIC.
So BRIC was a program that was supposed to send federal dollars to areas that were potentially, you know, vulnerable to major natural disasters. And that program was canceled by Secretary Noem back in March. There were many millions of dollars that were supposed to be sent to Texas communities where they were supposed to be able to do things to improve their flood protection, protection against wildfires, hurricane recovery, things like that. And then those programs, those dollars just went away. And so, and many people were taken aback by that. There are members of Congress that are calling for those programs to be reinstated. Also, you know, we know that there was a fraction of the FEMA staff that was deployed to Texas compared with the responses to disasters in previous administration. On the Monday night after the FEMA, after the disaster, there were reportedly 86 FEMA staff. And by Tuesday, that number grew to 31 in the Hill Country. However, one of the examples of misinformation spread about what's happening in with this response, Kristi Noem stated that she had over 700 FEMA workers in the area, which was not patently not true, but that's what she went on Fox News and said. And I do want you to know that our phone lines are open. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. And you can call us and let us know if you have had contact with FEMA, if you've have been experienced in natural disasters. You know, we have a lot of them in Texas. We have them on the coast. And then, you know, you see what's happening in the Hill Country and you're wondering, like, are we having the same amount of response? My experience in covering hurricanes, I've seen massive FEMA response on the Texas Gulf Coast. During those events, providing people vouchers for shelter, also helping people get back on their feet, helping businesses with the Small Business Administration get going again. There, you know, you just cannot recover from these disasters without the appropriate federal response. And so the people are wondering, like, what when they say they want to turn this over to the states, what would that look like? You know, by giving these states these block grants, we've seen in the past that the block grants that they provide states for one purpose end up going to something else in Texas. And so there's questions, is that something that we could see again? Federal money for disaster relief ending up, you know, we're seeing FEMA dollars now being siphoned off to being billed for, used for camps for people who are slated for being deported because they have been rounded up by ICE because their citizenship status is not great. So could things have been done differently? Is it FEMA's job really to be thinking about, like, how much can they actually do for the state in providing support for, you know, recovery from a flood like we're having here? And, you know, the question is, you know, what we've seen in the past is that FEMA has come in and have come in strong, and they provided support immediately, getting people back on their feet, allowing them to begin their rebuilding operation. I'm hearing from many people that, you know, they can't move forward in their recovery until, you know, because they are on hold. They can't recover until FEMA gets its act together. So, Sarah, you know, so having FEMA providing slow and inadequate response, I mean, what does that look like if you are on the ground dealing with the disaster?
Well, I mean, it just, speed is everything, right? Like, you know, if you've, I was writing about the tornadoes in St. Louis that happened in May, and it took FEMA more than 3 weeks to approve to get there after that tornado. And if you've just had the roof blown off your house, you can imagine that, you know, you want to be able to apply to FEMA really quickly so that you can get moving on getting that roof fixed. It also has real implications for the community. You know, who's going to pay for debris cleanup, search and rescue? You know, does the local government have to front all that money, not knowing if the federal government is going to help reimburse those costs? And, you know, in general, the whole reason that I study disasters is that the way that the government responds to people in their hour of need, in their kind of worst moment, that says a lot about how the government is going to show up for you the rest of the time. And it's kind of like the base of the governance pyramid. So I'm very interested in how does the government show up for people? And if they're unreliable or unpredictable, that's bad in confidence in government in general.
Well, to that point, let's go to a caller, Gina. Jenna, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had a couple of points. First of all, it seems like this with FEMA, there's like a recognizable pattern among, you know, lots of these federal agencies. They demonize them and then defund them. And then where does the money go? It gets redistributed in the form of tax breaks for the upper classes. And to that point, I just kind of makes you start to wonder, okay, every time they talk about defunding these federal agencies, they talk about shifting more and more responsibility towards the states. So why are our tax dollars not being collected at the state level if the states are going to have to pay for everything? You know, I mean, we're just going to keep paying federal income tax dollars just for them to be redistributed in the form of tax breaks for billionaires while, you know, they stiff us on FEMA and Department of Education and the EPA, you know?
Yeah. All right, Jenna, thank you for that. So, Sarah, the idea that the states would be getting these block grants from the federal government in order to manage their own disasters, can you say is that workable? Is that practical?
Well, I mean, I looked into this question. So one of the things that the administration has talked about is that states should be able to handle their own disasters. And I think there's a lot of variability across states' ability to do that. But, you know, one of the things I wrote about recently was that, you know, Texas is hugely reliant on FEMA. I don't think we've seen a clear plan of what block grants would look like. That's one thing that the administration has talked about. But, you know, we're sitting on $24 billion in the rainy day fund right now in Texas. And it took 2 years after Hurricane Harvey for the legislature to tap that to help support communities that had been affected by that hurricane. The legislature is obviously in special session right now. I think one of the things I'm looking at is the state going to tap its own resources, not only for recovery from what happened in Kerr County, but to increase our insurability, to increase our resilience to managing these costs for future disasters. Like, we don't have to wait to harden public infrastructure to help homeowners do that. You know, we have a big rainy day fund, and I think, you know, one of the things we could spend it on is on preparing for future disasters.
Let's go to Tony on the phones. And Tony, you're on the air.
Hey there. Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. Ultimately, my question is, why aren't we working on a FEMA rapid response system? And also, those block grants can be tied specifically to disasters, where you can't spend those on anything else. But instead of, you know, firing people in FEMA, why don't we just set them up so they can respond quickly to any, you know, national crises? And it's a great partnership. Federal government and state government have always been partners, and that's the best way we can get things done.
Right, Tony, thank you for that. So the expression in disasters, at least in Texas, when I've worked on these things, is that all disasters are local. The county judge is at the play at the point. They work with the state government, but it all comes down to the local guys who know the area, know the players, and the FEMA and all these federal people are in support. So a response to that, sir.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the federal government comes into a state at the invitation of the governor when the state, the governor certifies that the state and local capacity has been exceeded. And that's been a strong way of working. I think now there, you know, as the caller mentioned, you know, lots of people being fired or quitting from FEMA. It's one of our great sources of strength that we spread out disaster risk across the country, that we have teams positioned around the country with disaster professionals, that no one state has to maintain that kind of capacity year round.
Idea that this is, I mean, well, first of all, FEMA, it came from the Cold War. It was supposed to help us respond to if there was, you know, like an attack on the United States.
Well, it came also out of a call from Southern governors in the 70s that they desperately needed a single point of contact to coordinate the different kinds of response that are available from the federal government. I think that's still really true today. There are lots of different agencies that are involved in disaster response, ranging from, you know, certainly FEMA, but also the Department of Transportation, the Department of Agriculture, the Small Business Administration. There are lots of different kinds of help that are available. And one of the core things that FEMA does is coordinate that response. And if that goes away, then that puts a lot more burden and it creates a lot more bureaucracy at the local and state level. You need a lot more people to coordinate with different agencies if FEMA isn't there to backstop you. It's not just about money. It's about the capacity to coordinate.
Right. So have we learned a lesson that we can't, that FEMA can't go away, that FEMA needs to be strengthened and not weakened, and that FEMA is essential for national security and also for economic security in the United States?
I mean, that's what I hear from everyone at the state level, you know, members of Congress. There seems to be consensus that, you know, FEMA is essential to our national security. But we haven't yet seen a plan that, the acting administrator of FEMA testified last week. He would not testify under oath that he was committed to the continued existence of FEMA. So I think there's broad consensus that, yes, FEMA makes sense. It could be improved. It should be improved.
But criticism that something could be improved is not criticism, because you can say that about anything.
Yeah, no, but there's like legitimate critiques of FEMA. And, you know, I think that a lot of people who've applied for FEMA have legitimate complaints about
sure.
It's too bureaucratic. It takes too long. It's too difficult to get help. States and local governments have legitimate critiques that like it takes the reimbursement process requires them to front too much money. There's too many administrative headaches. So those are things that could be improved.
But what they're talking about is watering it down, not addressing those issues, but trying
to... Right, and that's where, I'm very interested in this. The Transportation Infrastructure Committee in the U.S. House just came out with a bill, the FEMA Reform Act of 2025. And it takes seriously a lot of the concerns that people have had about FEMA. It's a real blueprint, and we haven't yet seen the same from the administration.
Sarah Lebowitz is the Senior Fellow in the Sustainability, Climate, and Geopolitics Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Thank you so much for talking to us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.